other worlds and other realms. Are they real? You can't find a much more taboo topic in the Christian community, but it's something that we're going to tackle here on Tin Hat Talks, Question the Narrative with Donita and Shelley today. Hi, I'm Shelley. If you haven't heard of me before, I am a Christian truther, homeschool mom of 11 children. I have a YouTube channel called There's No Place Like Home, on which I do tackle a lot of these taboo topics on my Question the Narrative playlist. And it's something that I wanted to share with you today, and I'm so excited to be here with you today on my very first solo podcast. So the question of other worlds is something that most Christians tend to stay away from. We seem to have a very human-centric view of the Bible. Too many of us have the idea that the world was created for us, and that is not the way that it works. The world was created for Jesus Christ. But when you have that point of view, it can be very hard for you to even consider the possibility that there may have been other creations before ours. And indeed, this is something that hits a raw nerve when people talk about the gap theory. If you don't know what the gap theory is, I will give you a very quick synopsis of that. So when we read Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now, when you read that at first glance, most Christians have probably heard that a million times. But if you actually go back to the original Hebrew, the word "was" in verse 2, where it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty," can also mean "became." So it could actually mean "now the earth became formless and empty." And the words that are used that are translated as formless and empty are tohu va bohu. And there is one other place in the Old Testament, I believe in the book of Jeremiah, where tohu va bohu is used, and it means complete and utter desolation, and it came about as a form of judgment. So there are many people who believe, many believers who believe that there is a time gap between verse 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then verse 2, now the earth became formless and empty, meaning before he started the 7-day creation period, there was a time period where there was something else before that, and it was destroyed, likely due to some form of divine judgment. Now, that's a very sticky topic when it comes to Christians. They don't like the idea of there being another creation before us because, again, we seem to have a very human-centric view of the Bible. But what we need to realize, my friends, is that the Bible was written specifically for us, for man, for those of us who are here on earth right now. And that does not mean that there has never been any other creation. In fact, we know there is another creation. We know there are other realms. There is a heavenly realm. There is Tartarus. The angels, not just the angels, but the celestial beings, they have some form of hierarchy, which means that they have some form of civilization. And yes, they very likely have their own realm. Yet for some reason, the idea of there being other, I'll say, creatures that were created by our Heavenly Father, it really strikes a wrong chord in a lot of people. But it's something that I've thought about a lot, and I've especially been thinking about it as I have been reading The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis. Now, let's talk about C.S. Lewis first, just for a couple of minutes, because most people know C.S. Lewis as a prolific Christian author. He wrote the Screwtape Letters. He wrote Mere Christianity. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series, of which The Magician's Nephew is the first book in that series. And most people don't know much more about him other than that. He does, however, have a questionable past, as does Tolkien, the author of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the Hobbit stories. They were both members of what was called the Inkling Society, and they were trained as adepts, and they were given very occultic knowledge that was only for those who were born into the bloodline of those who were meant to be trained in that sort of thing. And so a lot of people who do know this story of C.S. Lewis, they have questions about his motives when he was writing. Was he really a believer, or was this a front? I've been pondering whether he became a believer after he had been trained in this occultic knowledge, and if the reason that he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series was to convey some of the things that he learned, some of the, yes, truths that he may have learned while being trained as an adept, and he may have written it as an allegory so that it could get out into the Christian community so that they would get these nuggets of truth that they otherwise may not have been privy to. Am I correct about this? I don't know. This is just something that I've been wondering about because I have never read The Magician's Nephew before. So as I'm reading this, I am blown away by the absolute parallels that I see not only between the creation of the world and the creation of Narnia as described in this book, but in the very things that we tend to talk about in these question the narrative topics. Things like fairies and gnomes and dragons and we'll even say aliens. Not that there's aliens in The Magician's Nephew, but you will find that a lot of these creatures seem to have the same characteristics. And you wonder where all of these stories from all over the world came from. They're all very similar. And we see this happening a lot. We see this with pyramids. We see this of tales of the worldwide flood. And this is just another area where there are so many creatures, we'll call them creatures again, so many sentient beings that different cultures will describe. They may have different names for them, but they are obviously the same beings. And the question is, could they be coming from the same place? So in the last chapter of The Magician's Nephew, something really caught my eye. And I'm just going to read that to you. It says, "When you were last here," said Aslan. If you are not familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia series, Aslan is a lion, and he is symbolic of Christ. So let me continue. "When you were last here," said Aslan, "that hollow was a pool, and when you jumped into it, you came to the world where a dying sun shone over the ruins of Charn. There is no pool now. That world is ended, as if it had never been. Let the race of Adam and Eve take warning." One thing that is super interesting about The Magician's Nephew is a place called the Wood Between the World. And that is a place that to me is really reminiscent of Yggdrasil, the tree from Norse mythology that connects all of the worlds together. That really is what the Wood Between the Worlds is. And in that world, there are many, many puddles. And depending on what puddle you go into, there is a different world in each of those puddles. And so as I was reading this, and as I was reading just the story of how that world is ended as if it had never been, I thought to myself, have there been other worlds that have ended as if they have never been? Are there other worlds now? And I'm not saying other worlds as in other planets, because I happen to believe in biblical cosmology. I do not believe that there are planets as they are shown to us. However, I do believe that it is possible that there are other realms that may be in other dimensions. And I just started wondering to myself if this is something that he was trying to show to us. Now, I've got to say that the use of water as portals is just conveyed in so many different lures all over the world, the same thing. And here we have, again, puddles. And if you've ever seen the Stargate series, that Stargate, if you look at it, it certainly looks like water. It looks like some form of liquid. So water or something similar to it seems to be a medium that is used. So if we think of those ponds as portals, that is something that really got my mind going. In fact, I've even wondered about the great deep as it is described in the Bible when it talks about the fountains of the great deep. And if you will actually look at a model of the biblical cosmology, it will show you the abyss or the great deep under the earth, which is by the foundations. And I have often wondered to myself if that in itself could be some form of portal to these other realms. I don't know. It's just something that I think about. It was very intriguing. Years ago, I saw a video of a man. I think he was a film director, but he was in some sort of submersible and he was exploring in the ocean, and he came across this brine pool. They call it a brine pool. And they said that the reason that they believed it was a brine pool was because nothing could go inside of it. And indeed, when he tried to maneuver his submersible into this brine pool, it bounced off. He literally could not get inside this brine pool. It just completely bounced off. And I started to wonder if that could possibly be an entrance into what we might call the great deep. Could it have a different consistency? I don't know, but it's certainly something that is fun to think about. We hear stories of portals and stargates that are even found all over the earth today. And so I have always kind of took them to mean that it would take you directly to one other place. We've even heard of the gates of heaven, the cherubim who guarded the gates of the Garden of Eden. We have the gates of hell that are also mentioned in the New Testament. And are these actually physical gates to a portal? And I've been wondering now, after reading this, if these portals will actually take you to a place similar to Yggdrasil, the world tree, or similar to the wood between the worlds, where it will actually take you to a place where there are multiple realms that you can choose from. Very often we will hear stories, especially nowadays, of aliens. Years ago, I should say a century or two ago, you would hear stories of fairies or pixies or imps or leprechauns. But one thing that you will notice is that many of these stories are the same. The abduction stories are the same. The missing time is the same. And sometimes, oddly enough, some of the reproductive stories are the same. So the question is, are these the same beings? I don't know, but you have to think to yourself, where are these things coming from? Could they be coming from these other realms that so many believers refuse to believe may exist? But we need to remember that our God is an awesome God. He is capable of all things and He is infinite. Too often we look at Him almost as beginning when we do. We forget that He has been here throughout eternity. And for us to just think that everything just started with us, I think is a bit arrogant. So yes, I think that it is possible that all of these, what we would call fairy tale creatures, or some of these even cryptozoological creatures like Bigfoot, may be coming from these other realms. Are there portals that they use? Are they even perhaps remnants left over? You know, going back to that gap theory, if there was some sort of destruction before the 7-day creation period, were there some remnants? Were there some of these beings that were living there left over? I don't know. Another thing that I found interesting in The Magician's Nephew is that as Aslan is creating Narnia, he created satyrs. and dwarves and unicorns. And I think that so many of us, when we are looking at beings like satyrs, we think of them as hybrids, and we will tie them in with the Book of Enoch and just think of them as being created by the giants. Now, most people will say by the watchers, but if you actually read the Book of Enoch, it says that it was the giants who sinned against the animals. So that's another question. But in Magician's Nephew, Aslan is the one who created these things. I'm not saying that God created satyrs, because as Donita will tell you on any of her podcasts, possibly, satyrs are really kind of, I don't even know how to describe them. They're a bit perverted. And so to think that something like that would be created by God, yeah, I don't know about that. But it does make you wonder if some of the creatures that we look at now, could they have been around during the Garden of Eden? I don't know. But these are all, you know, really interesting questions to ask. And I think that as believers, we should never be afraid to ask questions about things, because God gave us such a wonderful, beautiful world to live in. And I think the intrigue surrounding us is immense. And the more that I look into these things, the more I appreciate what an awesome God we have. That's all that I am going to share with you today. And thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a blessed day.